Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
So if you curious fuckers love our podcast, Fucksgiving, you are going to love one of my favorite podcasts, actually, Confidently Insecure with Kelsey. It is amazing. And she covers loads of topics, actually, that we really enjoy talking about.
Yeah.
Like, thank you, guys.
Sisters from so many different misters here. Like, we are just ripping. I don't know what the word is, but you just need to check out her podcast because we love this girl. Like, I cannot wait for the day where we can meet each other in 3D and hug.
And fuck.
I know.
You guys have to come over to Confidently Insecure. We're the podcast where we're absolutely sure we don't know everything. This podcast is a safe space for you to come and ask the dumb questions so we can all learn and become better humans. Everything from politics to sex work to vaginal health to brain science. Come on, come take a listen anywhere where podcasts are played.
Oh my God, I need to listen about brain science when I'm fascinated.
It's intense.
Yeah, definitely go and check it out. You are going to love it.
Yeah, if you love us, you'll love her. Faux show.
You're listening to Fucksgiven, the one with Tasneem, aka Hood Rat Feminist.
Hello, curious fuckers. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and together we're Come Curious.
When we're not just fucking around on YouTube and Instagram.
Every Thursday we invite a new guest onto Fucksgiven to talk about their best fucks, worst fucks.
And the fucks that made them.
We also answer your sex questions and read out your sex stories.
So stay tuned as we divulge all the delicious details.
Welcome all the way from LA again. We've got so many LA guests on recently.
Oh my God, loving it. I feel like LA is the other London from, you know, it's like the sister, brother feeling that vibe. It's the community of just,
all that good stuff.
Yeah.
That's actually the best thing that's like about this whole quarantine situation is that we're getting overseas, like amazing guests on the show.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And thank you so much for joining us. Like, we
thank you for having me.
Your work.
Thank you.
So could you tell our curious fuckers a little bit about yourself?
I am an artist. I'm a sex positive digital content creator. I started on Instagram back in October 2016 because I was in a womanist, a black feminist theater course at the New School. Yeah, at the New School where I studied acting, directing, playwriting. And our professor told us that we were going to be exploring digital activism. So at the time, I was like, what the hell is that? I'm not putting that on my Instagram. I had like a previous Instagram. I was like, you know what? I'm going to start a new page and I'm going to call it Hood Rat Feminist. And everyone was like, that sounds cool. That sounds cool. So people from my old page started to follow my new page. So that page is kind of like obsolete now and everything is Hood Rat Feminist. And I started posting these 1 minute, because at the time there was no IGTV or anything like that. I was posting 1 minute durag diaries because I had a short haircut, so I would wear like a silk durag to like have my hair lay down.
Yeah.
And I would always be like naked in my bed talking about my previous sexual experiences, like talking about my childhood before Instagram was so censored. It honestly drives me crazy now, because back in the day, like, you could kind of say and do anything on Instagram and nothing would happen. And now it's like, delete it, delete it, delete it.
Yeah, but Facebook was when Facebook brought it out.
Exactly.
Because, like, Facebook, you knew, was very uptight anyway with their content, because you can have, you know, children could have a Facebook account. So
exactly.
As soon as they brought it out, they went, yeah, we need to make sure blanket form, like, everything over. And as much as that is good, because we don't want children seeing content they shouldn't be seeing, but also it really fucked over a lot of people doing
it
good
did.
and talking about good things and important subjects.
Basically activists.
Yeah, basically activists, sex workers, anything to do with, like, sex positivity or sex education just got fucked. Which is, you know, it's like, it's what kids really need to see. And yet there's still violence and hate speech allowed on Instagram. And like, yes, you can report it, but, like, it's still happening. There's still fucking child porn on Instagram.
Yeah.
And unless you report it, unless you know and you can find it and report it, it will stay up there.
Exactly.
That's so fucked.
It's really messed up. There are some messed up things on Instagram, and they keep themselves in their little private groups.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because
that's what I started it for. It was for younger people. It was for, like, because I was talking about my high school experiences for the most part, because I grew up in a neighborhood that's not that safe. Like, the neighborhood I grew up in, we weren't allowed to, like, play outside if we weren't in large groups. It was, like, a very, we call it a hood, like, in Jersey. Like, I'm from the hood. That's where Hood Rap Feminist came from. But I was just exposed to so much so early. My mom is a single mother. She worked all day long. My grandmother passed as soon as I got to the eighth grade. So that was kind of like the year I hit the ground running. I was at home, me, my brother, and my sister, just doing whatever the hell we wanted to do. Like, I would invite all my friends over and, like, let everybody take a room, and we would have, like, little orgies, like, crazy shit. And I was in
like
middle school.
Actual sex.
Yeah, like everybody would be, like, off in their room, like, doing their thing, and then we would come back later, like, what did you do? What did you do?
Oh,
like,
my God.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Like, brothel pimp, loving life, and, like giving people that space. Like, this is a safe space to do whatever the fuck you like.
Yeah. And we were kids. Weird. We were kids. So we didn't, although we didn't know what we were doing the most. And so when I finally got into feminism, I was in the Womanist Black Feminist course, like I talked about. But before then, I was in an Introduction to Feminist Thought and Action course. And I felt like the specifics of my neighborhood and the women and girls specifically of that neighborhood were missing from all the coursework, the literature. Like, the day we were supposed to talk about Black masculinity, our professor chose to talk about course evaluations for half the class time. So
You're
I just
joking.
Felt insulted. So when I saw that they were offering Womanist Black Feminist Theater, I was like, this is an opportunity to get really specific about Black women and girls. And so I went to that class. We went to go see a bunch of plays. I got to see, like, Black women talking about our own experiences. And it inspired me to take it to a digital space, take it to Instagram. And I would just, like, make really funky content. I have, like, triple D boobs, so I will always have, like, my boobs out, like, to get people to press play. Like, I was ridiculous, honestly, like, at the time. Like, I really didn't, I gave no fucks. Like, we said,
I mean,
no,
oh,
fucks
I
given.
Love that.
It's
no
just marketing, baby.
Given.
Like, sex sells. You just got to use your best assets to, you know, promote what you're actually talking about. We do exactly that.
Exactly.
Like, I'll get naked anytime I can if someone's going to hear my voice more.
Exactly. Exactly.
Fuck number one.
The last fuck.
I've been really exploring a lot sexually just in the last couple of years. I'm 23 now, so I maybe around like 20, we started exploring like sex toys and incorporating like lube. I started using a CBD lube from Foria.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the last time
we love Foria.
That's the one that I love.
Yes. So the last time we fucked, like, my boyfriend has really been trying to focus on like semen retention, I guess. Like trying to like get his mind, like get right there and then kind of like stop for a second, maybe kiss a little bit, maybe touch. Mm-hmm. So
the last time sexy. We fucked,
yeah, he's been really doing that. And I'll be like totally into it. Like, why'd you stop? And be like, no, not yet. Like, I don't want to net yet. You know,
yeah.
So.
Like he wants to live in the moment and the pleasure. Exactly. He wants to like carry it on. I mean, that's bravo on him. Needs a round of applause.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm really proud of him, especially because like I'm this like sexy sexpert person, yeah. You know, who does all this sexy shit online, you know. So being with me, it comes with like this new challenge of trying to explore with me. It's you have to leave your comfort zone. Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's what me and Reed have really experienced that as well in my last relationship and Reed's current one. Like, it does put a lot of pressure because we're coming home with like bags full of sex toys. Mm-hmm. We're like talking about sex pretty much every single day. Like, so yeah. Obviously, which makes you hornier more of the time because you're like constantly thinking about it, basically.
You're just switched on. And then of course it's like, even if they are, you know, they do appreciate what you do and they are your number one fan, it's still going to be there at the back of their mind, like, yeah, but you know, like, what do they really think about this, or how are they going to portray this, or will this stay the same? That's why you just have to talk to your partner all the time, constantly, about absolutely everything, and have a safe space for, you know, if at some point your partner isn't comfortable with something or it goes too far, or if then they're allowed to talk to you about it without, you know, us biting their heads off and being like, what? Mm-hmm. You don't want to have sex with me? What?
Right.
So was your last fuck with using the CBD lube?
Yeah. So I've been really enjoying it's weird to call it the fetal position, but I realized that like putting that arch in your back, the guys are like, oh yeah, the arch in her back is so sexy. Like, yeah. It's literally just aesthetic. Like, it looks good. But yeah. To me, it's uncomfortable. Like, it feels dumb. Yeah. So I've been like on my knees, kind of like curled up in that fetal position shape. And he's been behind me. We've been exploring that a lot lately. Yeah. So he used a CBD lube and like, I haven't been feeling like kissing or doing all of that lately. So the CBD lube kind of speeds things up. It gets us to that point of like, let's do it right now. Like, you're hard. I'm ready. Let's go. You know, even though I may not be as lubricated naturally. I've been in that position a lot. And our last experience, like the whole time I was in that position. And so when he finally did ejaculate, I went and grabbed my glass dildo from Unbound Babes and paired it with the suction toys, you know, like the womanizer, all those kinds of toys, used them at the same time. So I'm in that position. He is using the glass dildo and I'm holding on to the womanizer. I think I almost lost my fucking mind. Like, I was just there. Like, I felt like I was leaving my body.
It felt so good.
Crazy. Like, my eyes are just twitching. My toes are curled. Like, my body, I'm like, oh my God, I'm cramping.
Oh my God, when the cramps come.
And you can't take it anymore. You're almost like, this pleasure is too much, but like, I can't stop. And you're like, completely out of control.
Yeah,
like those orgasms where you're pushing out so much, you're like, how do I even keep anything inside me right now?
So that was amazing. It was crazy. Like, that was the last time I had sex, and it was actually a couple days ago, maybe like 3 days ago, but the orgasm was so intense. I felt like, you know what, I think I'm gonna take a couple days, I'm gonna take take some me time. Vacation.
Rip you a new one. You're just like, well, I need to get back inside my body first before we can fuck.
Exactly. Sucks all the energy out.
But now talking about it today, when we get off here, I might go and resume where I left off.
Definitely. Like, this conversation's basically your foreplay.
Exactly. And my boyfriend's here. He's listening somewhere.
Is he?
He's playing video games.
You're doing a good job.
I'm on the headphones.
I always get so many questions from people asking about CBD lubes. Like, how do they make you feel when you use them?
I think, I used to experience like a lot of pain, and I just started to assume that was normal. Like, when I first started having sex, when I was having these like orgies when I was a kid, I was experiencing pain, and I was just like, okay, well, sex is kind of painful, you know? And then once I started using lube and then CBD lube, I realized that it's a different kind of relaxation. Like, I feel like I'm not as tight, like I'm not clenching up as much. I feel like my vagina just wraps around the dick just in a different way than before. It just, it really does feel like that bloom, that flower.
It sounds like poetry. Like, my vagina is literally opening now. Like, where's the CBD at? Why am I not fucking around? Have you ever thought about experimenting with THC lube, like actual weed lube?
I definitely would. I'm interested in it. I'm interested in, like, cannabis in general, and I think that's why I love, like, Fourier so much, and different companies who are experimenting and using those products in their wellness products. But I had some negative experiences with, like, smoking weed. So it makes me a little nervous to try THC because I have these negative, like, anxious feelings associated. But I feel like living in California, everything is, like, more regulated. Like, you figure out, like, how much you learn about terpenes. Like, you learn about everything that is involved in this plant. And so now, like, where I'm from, like, they used to be like, oh, it's sour, it's kush, it's, like, a bunch of bullshit. Like, a bunch of guys just telling you, like, what they want, you know, what you want to hear.
Yeah,
oh,
what's going to sell.
Exactly.
It's the same with over in America, because it's not, I mean, over in England, because it's not legal. So everything is, like, high-grade skunk. And that's stuff that you don't really want to be smoking. Like, I was the same. I've had really bad experiences. I've had great experiences with weed, but towards the end, I had really bad experiences. I had to stop smoking weed altogether, and even using
it put
CBD
you off. Off using CBD.
Yeah, which is, like, a completely different part of the plant that isn't psychoactive at all. And yet, I still panicked because I still had that, like, you know, that almost like that memory of what it felt like. So I think if you are going to experience THC, then you need to be in a comfortable place, in an area, in it, like, almost like where it's been so long that you've forgotten that fear, and you're like, okay, yeah, I could deal with this now.
Yeah.
Fuck two. The first fuck.
Oh my goodness.
This is gonna be the orgy story.
My first time, I had, like, 10 people at my house. I have been, like, getting up to doing it before I actually did it, but, like, never actually going all the way. Like, we would get right there, and then I would be like, I'm not ready. And the only reason why I really decided to have sex was because I heard that my boyfriend wasn't a virgin the way he said he was. He told me he was a virgin. And
the
then I found out, I found out in the neighborhood, no, he wasn't. But I feel like he was trying to finesse me. But I loved him so much. And I was just like, I don't want him to have sex with anyone else. I want him to have sex with me. Yeah. So I have these 10 people at my house. Like, my little sister and I share a room. So I told my sister, like, you can't come in here. You
I've been there. Fuck.
Me and my boyfriend are going to be in the room. Don't come in. Like, just stay in the computer room. We had a computer room that, like, everybody else was in.
I had a computer room.
the family computer. And you had to get, like, hour slots.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's exactly how it was. Yeah. So my best friend and her boyfriend are in my brother's room, which is, like, next door. And so I'm hoping that, like, we're losing our virginities at the same time because my boyfriend was best friends with her boyfriend and we were best friends. So it was, like, this whole, like, cute thing. So we get in the room. It's just me and him. And, like, no one else knows what's going on in there. So I felt like that kind of gave me a little comfort to just do whatever. So we're in the room and I'm, like, you know, trying to be sexy. Like, do you have any condoms? And he's like, no. Because I guess he's expecting, like, it not to, you know, go all the way we had been doing. Like, we would kiss, we would touch, but we would never really do anything. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, not knowing anything, like, all right, we could just do it, like, a couple times and then, like, stop, you know? So I'm, like, laying down on my Tweety Bird comforter. And he's like, we're both fully dressed. It's absolutely ridiculous. We're fully dressed. Like, I'm like undressed from the waist down. And he has on, like, a jacket, like a hoodie, like his pants and his underwear, socks, shoes are, like, down at his ankles. So, like, we're both just naked from the waist down. But he still, like, has everything on at the ankles. It's, like, bunched up. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, he could fall. If he tried to run away, like, he wouldn't be able to do it. So I'm laying on the bed and he's like, all right, I'm gonna count down and I'll, like, let you know. So I'm like doing this, like covering my eyes. Oh, all right, just do it, you know. So, yeah. And because I was so attracted to him, I feel like when you're a kid, like the wind could blow and you would be wet, you know. So I'm like already like soaking wet, and he's like, "Oh, like you really want this? You're so ready." Like,
were you too young for the fear to kick in? Because I was definitely not wet my first. I was terrified. I was like, "He's gonna kill me."
I don't think I was wet either. Yeah.
I think because we had been like so sexual up to that point, I think the fear like was gone in the beginning. Oh, I used to read like erotic fiction all the time. So I was already reading like all this shit. So I was like, I'm so ready. Like, let's do it. Yeah. So he's like, all right, 1, 2, 3. And then he just like slowly puts it in. I'm like, you know, do that like deep gasp that everyone does. It hurts like the first time. But then like the next three strokes, like it starts to feel good. Yeah. So I'm like, oh my God. Like I was expecting the worst. Like everyone had told me that it hurts so bad. You're going to bleed. It's going to be all this stuff, you know. That didn't happen. So I think that's why I kind of hit the ground running the way that I did, because I had all this anxiety about it, and then it didn't happen. So, you know, he did a couple strokes, and then he didn't have a condom, so he stopped. He was just like, oh my God, you know. I was like, oh my God, we did it, you know. We were both really happy. And everyone else that was in my house, like, I guess they assumed, they wanted to know what was going on in both of the rooms, because everyone else wasn't having sex, they were just there. Like, it was like a bunch of guys, my little sister, my best friend, like my boy best friend, and then my other girl best friend was in there with her boyfriend. So we go out, we come out of the room, and everyone's like dead silent. And I was just like, you know, blushing, like shy, you know. My best friend came out of the room with her boyfriend, and now it's time for everybody to go, because my mom came home every day around like 6:30. So it has to be like maybe 5:30, but we need enough time to like clear everybody out. I need to like, you know, air out the place. It smells like book bags in school. Like,
especially as teenagers, the hormones and the sweat. Exactly.
So everybody left, and I'm walking with my best friend to like walk her halfway home, because I used to do that all the time. So I'm like telling her the story, like, yeah, we did it. Like, did you guys do it? And she's like, no, we didn't do it. I was like, we were supposed to do it together. But I was so happy. And then when, because this is like Friday, so you have to get back to school on Monday. On Monday, I find out that like my boyfriend's talking to this new girl, and he's like been cheating on me. It was literally devastating. It was such a hard time.
That's so devastating.
I remember because we didn't use a condom. I thought I was pregnant. So it was like absolutely ridiculous. It had to be like 5 days later, and I'm like, oh my God, like I think I'm pregnant, like my period isn't here. And I'm not talking to him, so I'm like communicating with him through my best friend, who's still dating his best friend, like, oh, we'll tell him, like, I think I'm pregnant, we need to talk. It was
so much drama.
Exactly.
5 days later as well, it's like, well, you kind of need to wait at least like a month to figure that out.
So we end up, you know, after that situation, we did get back together, and after that, it was like sex every day. Like when I was on my period, it was like head all the time. Like it was just ridiculous. Like it got to the point where he wanted to have sex everywhere all the time. And I'm in the ninth grade, so I'm 14 years old.
Yes.
It's got crazy. Like we would be on my front porch, and he'd be like, let's do it really quick. And I was like, no, like I don't want to.
He got like sex obsessed.
Yes, he got crazy. That was my first experience.
I mean, that sounds amazing. That sounds like it was like as much as the drama happened. It sounded like a good first time experience.
It was. It really was.
Yeah. It's a shame that happened. It just happens. Sometimes people just cheat, and it just sucks that it was your first time that happened.
Yeah. It was sad.
Yeah.
And I think it really affected my self-esteem. Like a lot of the stories that I told on Instagram in the beginning were like stories of me not understanding my worth or feeling like I was beautiful. And so I would use sex as like a tool to get love. And so I started having sex with like these different guys who I thought cared about me. But it was because my first love showed a video of us having sex to an entire football team of people.
Oh my fucking God.
So guys on the football team who I knew like started trying to talk to me, and I was just like, and these are like really popular guys. So I'm thinking like, why me, you know? God. And in the video, it looked like amateur porn. Like it was like, you know, head, like crazy, like, you know, back shots, like just a bunch of shit that like you don't expect a 14 year old to be doing on camera. So he showed it to all of his friends, and then when we broke up, like, they each tried to talk to me individually, and I ended up having sex with like two of them, not knowing that they had already seen this video, and that's why they were interested in me, and like all this stuff. So my high school experience, I kind of like ran away from my hometown and like went to college and just reinvented myself and like stopped fucking
kids
with everybody.
Kids are so mean, especially like high school time. Like, the bullying is unreal, and like they just don't get that it's not okay to share those personal things.
Exactly.
I remember like once when I was 13, I was chatting to this random kid from another school on MSN Messenger, and like we webcam together, and he asked me to like take my top off, and I did. I didn't even have boobs back then, like they hadn't grown in yet, but then he was just like, oh yeah, I screenshotted that, printed it out, and sent it all around my school.
Wow.
Oh my, like, fucking god,
I'm so sorry.
Did he actually insane.
I don't know. I don't know if he actually did it. I don't know. But like, I wouldn't put it past these kids though.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, that's kind of revenge porn in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, that 100% is like beyond revenge porn. Also, he could get done for pedophilia, surely.
Exactly. Yeah. We didn't have the language for it back then, and we also didn't have like the defense mechanisms that we have now. Like, we could go and like really have a case on someone.
Yeah.
But back then it was just kind of like, oh, it happened, like maybe the principal would get involved if it's like in your school or something like that. But in my situation, it was just all my peers.
Yeah.
So my punishment was socially. Oh. It had nothing to do with anyone else. So he was celebrated, and I was looked at, like, even though that was my boyfriend, it was like I was this big whore and like all this ridiculous shit that now I don't subscribe to. I don't give a fuck. But feminism is what helped me unlearn a lot of the shame that I had associated with my own body and just with my own sexual experiences. I felt like, you know, my mom used to say things about like how many bodies you should have before you get married, like all this bullshit. Jesus. That now I'm like, come on now, like I don't believe in any of that. Mm-mm. It's your autonomy, like you have choice, and it's not happening, sex is not happening to you, it's happening with you. It's an experience that you're participating in, and people have made it to be this degrading experience, but it's an enjoyable experience if you allow it to be, and if you allow yourself to enjoy yourself.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Fuck 3. The best fuck.
I was in college. I was 18. And it's, you know, thank God, it's my boyfriend now, because like we have really great experiences. Yeah. But this was my first time, like, you know, leaving my house and staying with someone overnight. Like, I had never done that before. I had just graduated high school. So I was at his house, and I like took a shower. We took a shower together. It was like really sexy, but there was no sex in the shower. We were just like kissing, just really like loving on each other. And we didn't even really know each other like that. We had known each other maybe like a week and a half. Like, I had decided then, because like high school was horrible, I dealt with all these guys, thought they loved me. Like, they didn't. I was like, I'm just going to have fun. College is going to be great.
Yeah.
So we're in the shower, we're kissing, and then, you know, my hair is wet. It's just a really sexy experience. And he lived in the basement at the time, so I had to, like, walk from the bathroom that was upstairs to the basement. So that's, like, that sexy, like, anticipation. You know what's about to happen when you get downstairs. Mm-hmm. So we get downstairs, it's, like, pitch dark. So I always had like stretch marks on my stomach since I was a kid. Like, I've never had children, but I've always had stretch marks. But
it was shout so out to our stretch marks. Dark. We love you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was so dark. So he couldn't see my body. Mm-hmm. And I felt like at the time I had so much shame associated with my body, but it wasn't there because he couldn't see it. So I was like naked and like really enjoying myself. So he's like eating me out. It's an amazing experience. I felt like he was the first person to ever be passionate about cunnilingus, like giving head. Like he was, it was just so, it was like perfectly wet, like, you know, he wasn't doing those little cat licks that people do. It was just so dumb. Yeah, just like so gross. Like, no, he was really like going all the way, like, you know, all the spit in the world. Now I like it a little more neat, but back then, like, the spit was great. You know, I'm naked. I'm just like, oh my God, yes. So he gets a condom and he's like standing over me. And so I'm like laying down on my back, like one of my legs is over his shoulder and the other one is like down, like down straight. So it's kind of like wrapping around him. And so he, you know, starts to penetrate, and then he takes my foot from around his neck and puts my toes in his mouth.
Oh my god, that's such a young 18 kid. I never had that experience
in my life. He takes his other hand, puts his thumb in his mouth, and starts to flick my clit while my toes in his mouth, and we're fucking.
Oh my god, like, wow, you know, this is like fresh. Is he the same age?
No, he was 23. I was 18. So he's like a little more experienced, but like not, you know, crazy experience. But he was passionate about my body.
Oh, that is really so good, like celebrating
every part of me. It felt like, you know, like he was rubbing my thighs, flicking my clit, like doing all of the things. Like I was just like in heaven. At that point, I honestly felt like I should stop talking to him because I had gave myself this rule. I gave myself this rule. I was like, I'm not going to fall in love. Like, I'm just going to have fun. Like, I want to be in college. Yeah. You look at us now. We're in a relationship. We're in a monogamous relationship. Like, you know. So it happened.
You couldn't let that one get away. You couldn't let that one get away.
Exactly. And I'm a Libra. So, like, me as a Libra, I'm just, like, always, like, what's next? Love, love, love.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So that was my best experience.
He sounded like he was there for your pleasure, not, not his pleasure. Which changes the game totally. And it's, it's not, we're not just talking about all men need to be there for her pleasure. It's like every person needs to be there for the other person's pleasure.
Exactly.
And it needs to be equal experience, like regardless of gender or sexuality.
It's so fun as well, like learning all the different like turning on points on different, like on your whole body. Like there's so much more than just the genitals, like nipples, like biting necks, like licking arms, like even like licking and sucking like fingers. That really turns people on.
Oh, fingers. Fingers, toes, soles, like all over.
It's early over here, but I'm just like, you know what?
Oh, it sounds so good.
It was amazing. It was amazing. And like, you know, before that I was having sex with like these high school guys, like guys who didn't really give a fuck, and you could tell, you know, they would finish and be like, you good? All right, I'm about to play video games or whatever, you know. So that was my first time. Yeah, my first time ever, like, feeling appreciated and celebrated, and I had, like, no insecurities. It was great, a great experience.
How did you feel about the foot sucking? Was that the first time you've done that?
Yeah, it was the first time I ever experienced that, the first time anyone had ever put my foot in their mouth. Oh my God, after that, it just, like, it kind of like sent me over. Like my, I was like, I think I even like shed a tear of joy. Like, you know how you're ever just like so overwhelmed that you don't even know what to do? Like, yeah, it was like one single tear. And he was like, are you okay? I'm like, yes, I'm more than okay.
Please just shut up and put my foot back in your mouth.
Like. Exactly. Oh my God.
It is kind of crazy how much feet can like really turn you on. I didn't think I had like a foot thing at all. And then recently someone sucked my foot and I was like, this actually feels pretty good.
Yeah, feels damn good. I mean, if you think about like your clitoris or like any sexual part of your body, there's just, it's a bunch of nerve endings, and your feet are really sensitive anyway. So if it's done in the right way, it can just be such a pleasurable experience.
Fuck number four.
The worst fuck.
Oh my goodness. It was so horrible. Okay, so on like Thursday, I saw like this ad on Instagram for a yard sale. And I had never seen like the guy who ran that page. But I decided, like, I love junk. Like, I'm going to go.
Yes.
So I went, and he was doing, like, a pop-up shop. And I looked like shit. Like, I didn't even know who, like, who was going to be there.
I mean, it's a yard sale. Like, you're not going to dress up for a yard sale.
Yeah, so, like, I came. Like, I had, like, my sleeping hairstyle in. Like, I look crazy. But I end up seeing a guy who, like, has this pop-up shop with all these, like, vintage clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, oh, that sounds sick.
Yeah. So, oh, like, I bought some really cool shit, and he was like, can I take a picture of you for Instagram? And I was like, right. I look like shit, but okay, I guess. So I, like, hold up the jacket that I bought, and he takes a picture, and then, like, later on, he DMs it to me, and he's like, if he listens to this, he's gonna know I'm talking shit about him, but, like, fuck him. So, he DM'd me the picture, and he was like, how old are you? And at the time, I was 19, so I was like, I'm 19, and he was 25. So he was like, can I have your number? Mm. And he was kind of cute when I saw him. I wasn't really interested, but I was like, okay, cool. So we're texting, and it immediately goes sexual. Mm-hmm. At the time, I'm in college, so, you know, I said I was gonna try to have some fun. So I'm entertaining the conversation. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. okay. He's like, yeah, you know, you're 19. Like, I could teach you some things.
Oh, fuck,
I'm like,
thanks.
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
Like,
nice one.
You don't even know, like, from 18 to now, like, it's been a year and I've been, like, around the block.
Yeah. You're like, so I was having, like, orgies when I was 14.
Exactly.
14,
like, yeah, you don't even know don't I've been know. Here, you know. So I'm just entertaining him. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, what are you going to do? So finally, one day, I guess it's like around Halloween, I go out with my friends and I decide, like, he can pick me up from the train when I come back from New York, because I'm from Jersey. So I lived in Jersey and so did he.
Yeah.
And I went to school in New York. So he picked me up from the train and I end up at his house. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to have sex for the first time. Mm-hmm. So now I see that, like, I came to this place for the yard sale, but we go inside and he, like, lives with his whole family, but he lives, like, all the way upstairs. So I'm like, okay, cool. But I have been, like, dealing with guys who had their own apartments. But I was like, all right, I'm not gonna, like, you know, be rude. Like, I live with my mom, whatever.
Yeah.
So I go to his room and it's like his childhood bedroom.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, cool. But he has, like, these, like, basketball player posters on the wall.
Oh.
And, like, he has, like, all these video games in the system or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we're, like, sitting on the bed, and I take my shoes and my socks off. And he, like, starts, like, talking shit. Like, oh, like, no, you have to put some socks on.
What?
Like, I don't like feet. And I should have left right there. Like, yeah. I should have, like, you know what? I don't have time
That's
for this.
That's a red
I was
flag.
Just like, I was just like, okay, you know, I was like, people have their things. Like, I can't judge. Like, you know, some people don't like feet. They have this thing against feet. So I put my socks back on. And he, like, goes over to a video game case, pulls it off the shelf, and then opens it, and it's his condoms. He pulls a condom out of the video game case,
oh,
right then and there.
Oh, my God.
Right then and there. I was wow. like, oh, my God. Like, what the hell did I just get myself into? I'm like, does your mom come in here and, like, look around? That's what you're like.
Yeah.
It's like, you're still in high school. This man is 25 years old.
Yeah.
So he lays back, you know. He already has, like, a medium. So he's, like, using his hand to, like, kind of try to get it harder. So I'm like, you know what? Like, fuck this. So I'm, like, using my hand. Start giving him head. He's like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. You know, surprised that I know what I'm doing. So he rolls the condom on. And I'm like, you know what? He was talking all that shit. I'm going to show him. So I get on top, you know. And he's like, oh, shit. Like, losing it. Like, oh, my God. Like, yo, you must do this a lot, you know. Like, oh shit, you got some experience. Like, he's literally saying this, like, and then nuts within, like, it had to be like 3.5 minutes,
oh,
like
shit.
Blast off, like oh, get off me type shit. And I'm just looking at him like, you talked all of that shit,
yeah,
over text message. Mm-hmm. You told me you was going, you know, beat it up, you was gonna have me going crazy, I was
oh
gonna be running
God.
From you, all of this shit, and you just disappointed me so badly.
Oh.
I should have made you give me gas money. Like, this was such a waste of time and energy. You lucky you picked me up from the train station. Like, this is horrible. Like, so he's like, you know, oh, like, when am I gonna see you again? I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yes, why?
Never.
Soon. You'll see me soon.
Well, it
I ended up leaving and never talking to him again.
Like, never grew up. Like, especially just his bedroom being like that. I know, like, guys that really take care of their bedroom bedrooms an awful lot, and they don't redecorate. And but like, yeah, you know, your bedroom's supposed to reflect your age and your interests. Mm-hmm. And yeah, fair enough. You can still be into games. That's okay. But at least, like, you know, tidy up or make it look like a man's room.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. He's like the son in the attic. You know, there's a lot of moms have those sons that are just either in the basement or the attic. Yeah, he was in the attic.
I saw a good meme about those guys recently.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was so bad. Like, it was literally a waste of time. I didn't get any kind of stimulation, like nothing at all. He didn't give head, like nothing. It was so bad.
Ooh, for him,
you did
basically
get something out of it. You did get a good, hefty life lesson.
Exactly, exactly. Now, identify the red flags as soon as I walk in.
Like, put my socks back on. Oh, I'm out of here.
I'm going to put my shoes on, too, because I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
But, like, it's so hard in those situations, even if you kind of get an inkling it's going to be bad, it's so hard to actually be like, oh, actually, I've changed my mind, I'm going to go. Because, like, part of us is always like, okay, I've committed now, like, I'm going to have to go through with it.
There's
like
hope,
that.
Yeah. Hope that things are going to get better. Always. And even, like, halfway through fucking, or even, like, after they ejaculate or someone finishes, just feel like, oh, well, maybe they'll eat me out. The hope is still there. But
exactly.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't, like, shit on this guy too much because clearly he just was taught wrong. He wasn't really allowed he didn't have any independence. Mm-hmm. So it's possible he just had bad sex education and he just didn't have the opportunity.
That's where I'm at now. That's where I'm at now. I'm always thinking about, like, how did I learn sex? Yeah. Like, how did we learn? A lot of us were learning from porn and then we just acted out. You know, we end up in these rooms together and then we're just pretending.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what's going on. And now, because it's something that everyone is doing, we need education. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs education besides, like, the pamphlets that they passed around.
Yeah.
When I was in the 11th grade, I had already had sex in the 9th grade. Mm-hmm. We had sex education in 11th grade. They were like, this is syphilis, this is chlamydia.
Wow.
These are the photos. They showed us, like, this is pregnancy. You're going to get an STI or you're going to get pregnant, so don't have sex. Like, most of us in that class had already had sex.
It's like that scene in Mean Girls. Is it Mean Girls? Where they're like, yeah, just don't do it.
Yeah, don't have sex. Yeah, you will get AIDS and die. And you're like,
yes.
Yeah, it just freaks you right out.
Fuck number 5. The fuck that made me.
I think it's the same as my best experience.
Yeah.
Only because that was the first point I started to prioritize my pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because someone else decided to prioritize my pleasure as well. And so I really felt, like, echoed in that. I felt supported in that. And I became Hurrah Feminist, like, 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started, like, even though I was kind of already Hurrah Feminist, it became this public persona where I would share my experiences and encourage other people, it doesn't matter gender, sexuality, anything, other people to prioritize their pleasure and only engage with people who will prioritize their pleasure as well. And if it's only because someone showed me that it was possible. Like, once you have a positive experience, it's really hard to accept negative experiences going forward.
Yeah.
Because now you have something to measure it against.
Yeah.
Everybody doesn't have to fuck me the same way. Everyone doesn't have to suck my toes. But as long as I know that I'm there, I'm not just like an emotional support pocket pussy. I saw that on Twitter. Someone was like, I've been an emotional support pocket pussy. Mm-hmm. I really have. Mm-hmm. And now,
I was going to say, it's learning for yourself and helping others up to learn with you, but then also by helping others you're also learning yourself. It's this beautiful, like, cycle of like knowledge, and I feel like the more that I teach, the more I learn myself. It's like putting those practices into place.
Well, it's a turn on when people want to, like, learn more about your pleasure and they want to put you first. Like, especially, like, if you do something really cool to them and they're like, wow, I want to do, like, something just as good to you and, like, figure out, like, what makes you tick. And, like, it's so amazing having those, like, explorative situations with people. And, like, I guess that's what I said to myself after this breakup is, like, I'm not going to have sex with anyone that I don't have, like, a proper connection with. And I think, like, getting those connections is to do with people connecting on the level of giving each other, like, great pleasure. Because I think when you have unconnected sex, it's when you don't care about each other's pleasure, basically.
I
wanted to go back and ask you about stretch marks, because I think it's something that we don't talk about enough, and I think that it's something that not just most women have, but men do as well, and we're so self-conscious of it. Like, what have you done, or what are you doing to get over that fear and to get over the shitness of what stretch marks make us feel like?
There have been points in my life where I kind of just decided to accept what I cannot change.
Yeah.
So they have all this shit on the market that's supposed to help you get rid of stretch marks and do this and do that, but none of it works. So I found a lot of just comfort in taking photos of myself, just showing my stretch marks. I have a stomach full of stretch marks. I just show them and post them. Like, people say, like, oh, post your thirst trap and go. Like, you don't have to try to make it body positive. But it is when you've never, you know, it's body positive. Mm-hmm. If you say that you feel empowered posting photos, nudes, whatever of yourself, like, do that. But for me personally, I had never seen my body type in an advertisement. Mm-hmm. I had never seen it on a runway. I had never seen it celebrated in any capacity. So I just decided to post it, dress it up in some lingerie, you know, put some body oil on, make it sexy, and just share the photos. And I've found so much support in people telling me, like, my body looks just like yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you look beautiful. Yeah. And I'll say the same thing. I'll see someone, you know, post a picture with stretch marks, like, you look amazing, because they do. It's not just like me, you know. My mom has stretch marks. My mom had 3 children. Mm-hmm. You know, she has stretch marks forever. I never once looked at my mom like, oh, her body. You know, people will make it seem like stretch marks are just the worst thing ever. Mm-hmm. But it's natural. Either you were big and you got small, or small, you got big, your skin stretched. Mm-hmm. That's just what happened. Yeah. You know? So I accepted it, and now I celebrate it. I decorate it, dress it up.
For fuck's sake.
This week's sex question is, my boyfriend and I have been together for nearly 2 years and we have a great relationship in many ways except for one. He has a problem with erectile dysfunction. For as long as we've been together, he has never been able to get it up. We do other stuff and it's really great, and I'm totally happy with oral and other areas of our sex life, but I have always been a really sexual person and I've always needed penetrative sex and I really miss it. We've tried tablets and other aids to try and help, but nothing seems to work, and he won't go to counselling or even talk about it with me. I'm really struggling and it's starting to have an effect on my self-esteem and my happiness too, and I'm beginning to resent him as he won't get help and completely shuts down when I try and talk to him about it. I really don't know what to do, and any thoughts or help would be lovely.
I think there's a lot of people that can relate to that.
Yeah,
especially not even just like with erectile dysfunction, but with the fact that you're dealing with a partner that you can see needs help and that won't get help. Mm-hmm. That can be fucking hard to deal with. Mm-hmm. I mean, erectile dysfunction is often or not most of the time to do with like a mental blockage, a mental issue that needs to be unlocked. And obviously it's like a snowball, right? Like it happens once and it might happen the next time, and then you panic and then make it worse. And it's exactly the same with like not being able to orgasm. You know, it happens once, we overthink it, even if you think you're not overthinking it.
Yeah. He needs to go to the doctors, basically.
Yeah,
definitely. Like, that's kind of it. And like, if he should, I'm sure he wants to like sort it out as well. It's probably something that he's feeling super uncomfortable about, which is why he doesn't want to talk about it. But like, he needs to seek like medical help or see like a sex therapist.
Psychosexual therapy. Like that is, or couples therapy. If he's not prepared to do it by himself. But as this girl said, that she's asked him to go and he hasn't and he doesn't want to, then it's almost like you can't mother him. You can't be there, the one to tell him to do something. He might never do it, and you might be there wasting your life waiting for that. And that's not fair on you. You know, you need to take your sexuality under control. And if you are lacking something, then it's worth, like, as much as you might love him, maybe saying to him, like, look, I can't handle this anymore. I have to leave you. I need to explore myself and explore better. Maybe might give him the push for him to get help.
Yeah.
It's such a horrible, hard subject.
And I don't know if this person has done it yet, but since I was a kid, like, my mom used to smoke cigarettes when I was a kid, and I didn't feel comfortable saying to her out loud, like, can you just stop? I'm really worried about you. So I wrote it in a letter, and I just put it on her bed when she wasn't home so that she would come home and find the letter. So, you know, your partner may be embarrassed. It may be really difficult for your partner to hear you, but if you put it in a letter and just allow him to read it on his own time and just like not even be there to watch his reaction, mm-hmm. and just put all of your feelings into writing and just leave it. You know, don't expect any results or anything, or like don't even, you know, prioritize yourself mm-hmm. in it. Just like really talk about how you feel about the situation for them, you That's know, and maybe really he can hear idea. You.
Yeah,
I really love
but
that.
But then
idea.
After that, like, yeah, I suggest that you kind of just like bow out.
And it's a hard one. It's like we love you, but
I mean, yeah. if someone's not willing to go and get help, there is only mm-hmm. so much you can do. And if it's making you unhappy, then you've got to put yourself first at some point. Like, your life is about you, and you have your right to be selfish at these times. And like, just I mean, I left a relationship that I was like still in love with him. Like, we were still like great friends, we still had great sex sometimes, but like the sex wasn't enough, and there were like certain things that I was like, I'm scared I'm gonna end up cheating on you. Like, I'm not sure I'm gonna do it now, but like maybe in the future it will happen, because I'm like, this is always gonna be a problem. And mm-hmm. That's why we both made the adult decision to leave the relationship, because it was gonna be toxic eventually. And I feel like that's kind of a similar situation. If he's not going to go and get help, then it does end up being a really toxic situation, and you can't be unhappy just because of someone else.
Exactly. Yeah, it's almost like it's very possible, but that you've both ended up in this situation because you're both with each other. Like, it's very possible if you were with somebody else and he was with somebody else, this situation might have never happened. It might have never snowballed into that sort of hard, awkward, difficult place because of the way that you communicate. Or like, again, a lot of it is pressure. You know, it's very possible that even if you're not saying anything, like your actions or the arguments or like it coming out in frustration could be pressure, be putting pressure on him to perform, and then that's what's stopping him. You know, there is something that you either need to work at together and make that active choice, or be like, okay, like, there's only, yeah, like Florence said, there's only so much you can put into it and make a hard decision.
Fucking hell.
This week's sex story is all the way from Germany. Last summer, I was at my brother's house party and I met a beautiful... Wait, why can't I talk? I met a beautiful Puerto Rican non-binary person and we kind of instantly fell in love. Matcha and I had the most intense, passionate connection, even though we didn't really share a language. After making out and dancing for a while, we had sex on the toilet, which is so unromantic, and it was mind-blowing.
Oh.
The first time I had sex with anyone who wasn't a man. Even though the body was the same, I kind of just felt the absence of norms and prescribed ideas. We spent the night and the following morning together, telling each other how perfect we would be for another if we would have met at another time in our lives. Definitely a fuck that changed me.
Oh, I mean, I know I'm stereotyping here, but those Germans, they just, they have some good fucking sex education, and they seem so open. Like, there's a lot of places in Europe that are just super forward with their sex ed and like sex teaching and inclusivity, like Scandinavia and art.
Yeah. That sounds like such a beautiful experience. Like, having that connection with someone immediately. Mm-hmm. And like not having to sort of have those gendered stereotypes and prescribed ideas, it's just like, wow.
Yeah,
beautiful.
You just love who you love, you want to fuck who you fuck, you follow your heart and your gut and enjoy the ride, like, no matter who it is. And it's so shit that we still live in a world where it's like, but no, you're this gender, you can't be with that gender. It's it is like all those potential amazing fucks or potential amazing relationships that could have happened. And they haven't because of like our stupid ways of looking at gender and sexuality.
Exactly. We cut ourselves out all from like so much pleasure and just so many opportunities for connection because of what we've been taught. And I think it's just so we're doing ourselves such a disservice just as a society.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah. Well, go you guy or girl or whoever this was that wrote it. Amazing. Yeah. That's I hope more people listening to this have that experience, regardless of who they are. Like, question gender. If you find a connection with somebody, yes, it might be confusing, but just be honest with yourself, honest with your support network, and honest with that person, and something amazing could fucking happen.
Keep it to yourself in the beginning, because there may be people around you who still subscribe to traditional norms or whatever, who will discourage you from continuing to explore that and continuing to lean into that. So yeah, keep it to yourself. Like, you know, it's not keeping that person a secret, it's just protecting what feels good and matters to you.
But if, you know, if you do end up having feelings for this person and you and your support network doesn't agree, then get rid.
Snip.
See ya. No negativity. It's not fair on you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See you later.
Nice. I love that story. Unfortunately, it's time for it's time for us to fuck off. Like,
You should fuck off.
I don't know if anyone else's brain's doing this, but like, my brain is turning into mush during this isolation. Quarantine period. Yeah. I can't talk anymore. My words are disappearing.
Coronavirus brain fog, I swear.
Yeah.
It's all right, guys. Stick through it. We'll get there in the end. We will. Yeah.
Tasneem, it's been such a pleasure having you on.
Yeah. It's been a blast.
Actually, awesome. I've loved this.
Yeah, it's been
thank you for having me.
Please tell our curious fuckers where they can find you.
I am at Hoorat Feminist, Instagram and Twitter. I have a podcast called The Pleasure Pusher where I talk about my personal experiences, just prioritizing my own pleasure. You can find it anywhere you find podcasts. And
amazing.
Yeah, YouTube, same, Hoorat Feminist. If you just type that in, you can find me everywhere.
Yeah, everyone go follow the shit out of it.
Yes, and if you want, follow us too. Share this podcast. If this podcast episode resonated with you, share it with your loved ones, your family, with people that you think might hate this episode. Please share it, because we love that conflict.
Yes, I love conflict.
It is passion.
I invite it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, please, yes. Let's talk about this.
Okay, give us a rating, a review, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us on our social medias. Come Curious, Florence Bark, and Read Amber X. And you will hear us next week.
Oh, next week, baby. Speak to you soon.
Bye, Curious fuckers.
I'm waving. I'm still waving like a child. Yay.
Bye.